Let's have a prayer, shall we, before we open God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your word today, that your Holy Spirit will be here, that your angels will be here too, and that we will each receive the blessing that we are seeking. As we sit at your feet, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting how that some of the most beautiful passages in the Bible are in fact a prayer. And today we're going to look at one of these prayers that are written in the Bible. Beautiful prayer. How old the person was when he actually penned the prayer, we don't know. But I would like to think that he was probably older. Looking back on wisdom as he penned this prayer. And of course, as we read through this prayer, we find the depths of the person who wrote it. And what makes it so interesting with this particular prayer is that the one who wrote the prayer is still alive today. Who do you think I'm referring to? No, I'm not. Psalms chapter 90 is a prayer. It's a prayer of Moses. Psalms chapter 90. And here in this psalm we have some beautiful themes that are brought out that give to us, maybe in a kind way, a reality check. But it finishes with a very beautiful promise. Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90, beginning with verse 1, we read, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. As Moses begins this prayer, he reminds you and me who are listening in that God has always been there. With God, there is no beginning. Before the mountains and even before humanity, God was there. Difficult to grasp, isn't it? No beginning. We and our finite way of thinking, we only deal with beginning, middle and end. That's all we know. But a God with no beginning. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 25, let's go there. Proverbs chapter 8. Here we've got another little picture. Proverbs 8 verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. Before anything. And in Genesis 1 verse 1, as we mentioned earlier, was that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But really in Genesis 1:1, the first four words make such a very, very powerful statement. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. You know, it's interesting for us to consider that really that the beginning of this world was not with man, but with God. The beginning of the world was not with man, but with God. However important we might like to think we are, and let's face it, man has done some pretty wonderful things. But compared to what God has done, how small. How small. You know, when you look at nature, nature can paint some pretty amazing pictures. We talked about birds earlier, about the eagle. But I remember seeing a documentary on the world's fastest bird. What's that? I said the fastest bird. Ruth? The falcon. That bird can travel at 270 k an hour. That speed. But when you add to that speed, in this documentary I saw, and I couldn't believe it, this falcon was up, say, about 10,000 feet up, so many thousand feet up. And down underneath, flying, was a flock of glass, something bird like that in nature. Glass pigeon, something like that. The falcon looked down, saw the flock, picked the angle, folded in his wings, and became, as it were, a bullet. 250, 270 k an hour. Picked the angle perfect. The birds were flying in a V, and the eagle took this falcon, took the last one off with it, and the others did not even know it was gone. That's the power of nature. What is man compared to that? And here in this prayer, Moses is very beautifully saying that, hey, God is the author, not man. God is our creator. God is the one who put all things into place, not man. Verse 3 and 4, Psalms chapter 90. Psalms 90, verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday, and when it is past, as a watch in the night. You know, it's an amazing verse that, isn't it? A thousand years is nothing to God. And here in this verse we are reminded of a rather cruel reality, and that being that for God, time does mean nothing. Time is time. He's got all the time in the world. And more. We live for 100 years and we think we've done amazing wonders. And we have, really, I guess. But for God, 100 years is not much. Peter understood this. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And he brings out a very interesting point. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You know, Peter understood this point and reminds us not to get caught up in time frames. How often we try to put together a time frame, particularly when God's going to return. But Peter says, hang on a minute, don't get caught up in time frames. God time is different. But as we look back in history, the thing we discover is that with God, He does things on time. While with God it is true that there is no haste, there is no delay, but with God, it's always on time. When Jesus was born, it's right on time. When Jesus was crucified, right on time. And while we do not know when Jesus is going to return, you can be rest assured of one thing. He will be on time. Trust Him. Trust Him. And in verse 5 and 6 of Psalms chapter 90, we are reminded of another simple fact. Psalms chapter 90, verse 5 and 6. Which adds on to verse what 3 and 4 is saying. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, as asleep. In the morning lie like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourish and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. You know, nothing lasts forever. True? Nothing lasts forever. We buy something. We look after it. But it still doesn't last forever. And the same applies to us. No one lives forever. We're born, we live, we die. And as far as this life is concerned, that is all we know. It's a grim reality. It's a grim reality. Isaiah 40, we come to a passage of scripture. It tells us something else. It reminds us of this point. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof are as a flower in the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Then verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall what? Stand forever. Isn't that beautiful? In spite of what we may see around us, we've got a sure, solid foundation in God's word. God's word stands forever. you know, what we each hold in our hand is the Word of God. Do we trust it? Someone made an interesting point. I saw it in a caption somewhere. But they made an interesting point that we trust what is written in a newspaper and doubt what is written in the Bible. How true. We trust what is written in a newspaper and we doubt what is written in the Bible. And how true that is, and how foolish we are to do it. God's word is true. Do we believe it? God's word is sure. Do we trust it? God's word stands forever. Then in verse 7 to 10, Psalms chapter 90. Come back to there. Psalms chapter 90, as we continue through this prayer of Moses, 7 to 10. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is this strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Cheery, isn't it? But it's true. Here we see that God knows all about it. He sees the good and the bad. We cannot hide anything from Him, and He knows the heart of each one. But there is hope. Psalms 19, come with me there. Psalms 19. Psalms 19. Psalms 19, 12 to 14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them have not dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Here the writer in Psalm 19 is saying to the God, please help. Please help. You know, are we willing to put that request to Him too? Are we willing to say, Lord, please help? Because He is ever willing to help. He is ever willing to save. All we have to do is ask and trust Him. And in verse 10 of Psalms chapter 90, Moses reminds us that the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength there be 80 years, yet is their strength sorrow and labour. It is soon cut off, and we fly away. Life is short. We all die, and that we will in time be forgotten. You know, it's true, isn't it? And I guess I'm reminded of that. In the Warrigal Cemetery, if I were to take you to the Warrigal Cemetery, in that cemetery there is a very large tombstone. Very large tombstone. And underneath that tombstone is my great-grandfather. We've got a photo of him at home. Well, my mum's place. J.J. Hamilton. But you see, there in that Warrigal Cemetery is this huge big tombstone. And probably anyone else going through that cemetery would just say it's just a big tombstone. I have two nieces. I think they've only ever been and seen the tombstone once. And I doubt they'll probably go again because, well, they've got no real need to. They haven't heard all the stories about JJ. And I'm sure you can all relate to that because you've probably got all ancestors who, well, you know, they're buried in some cemetery somewhere. But they mean nothing. And how true it is that with the passing of time, we all end up in a cemetery somewhere, so many generations down the track, just a distant memory. If that. My brother-in-law came to Ballarat a few months ago looking for the final resting place for his grandparent and uncle who are in an unmarked grave. We spent the whole day looking for it, and the first time I looked I got it wrong because it was unmarked. And then when finally he and his brother were standing there looking at where their grandparent were lying on his unmarked grave, Bert brought home the reality where his brother said, "Now we should put some little marker here." And Bert said, "What's the point? Who's going to look at it?" "No one." His Bert said, "Well, I can't see my daughter being bothered to look." And I thought, "No, I can't either." But it's true. Life is short. Life is short. And it seems as though in this whole chapter, Moses is bringing home a point that life is empty. It can be empty. But then in verse 12 comes the punchline. Psalms 90 verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And of course, what is that wisdom? To know God, isn't it? To know God. To follow God and to let Him do the leading in our lives. Better still, make Him our friend. Psalm 39. Psalm 39 and verse 4. Psalm 39 and verse 4. David made a very interesting point. "Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how what frail I am. Help me to appreciate, hey, I'm not the master of the human race. God is." And Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. He simply says these words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. And keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let's get our priorities right. Know Jesus. Fear Jesus, know Him, obey Him, serve Him, love Him. Only with God do we have a solution. Only with God do we have a future. Only with God in our hearts does it give us a purpose. And you know what a difference it makes to our lives when we allow Jesus into our hearts. And Solomon is a wonderful example of what doing it our own way can reap. And at the end of it all, in spite of all his wealth, his riches, and all of his women, he had to admit it was all vanity. All pointless. Fear God and keep His commandments was his conclusion as he looked back on his life. But let's go back to the prayer of Moses. Psalms 90. Verse 13 onwards. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servant. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the day wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. What a way to end that prayer. To ask God to come into the heart and to make the changes that are needed. To make the changes that we can be glad, that we can give glory to God, that the beauty of God be upon us each one. That we allow God to work out His good pleasure in our lives. And how we need to do that. Each day. How we need to do that at the beginning of each day. To simply say, Lord, be a part of my life today. Come into my heart today. The words of Psalms 85. The words of Psalms 85 and verse 7 put it very simply and yet so beautifully. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. In this verse, the psalmist is asking just two things. One, show us mercy. And you know how often we need mercy, do we not? For we're not perfect. We all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of what we should be. And like the publican, we say, Lord, please be merciful. Please be merciful to me, a sinner. Show us mercy. And the second thing, please grant to me salvation. I'm sure for each of us, we each have got that desire that we want to see Jesus, that we want to meet with him, to live with him, to abide with him, to know him face to face. Psalms chapter 90 was a prayer of Moses. And in that psalm, Moses reminds us of exactly where we are at. But in that psalm, he gives to us also the hope of our salvation found in Jesus, found in God. And I pray that we, as we go through this week that lies ahead, that we will know our Heavenly Father, that we will experience that mercy which only he can give, and that in faith we can look forward to that day when we will experience salvation in its fullest. May we each be kept faithful to him, is my prayer.